We're back this week with part two in our three-part series on the polygraph or lie detector test. We'll be back next week with an episode in which we personally test out the finest polygraph equipment that money can buy from Walmart. It is must-listen podcasting. But before that, anti-polygraph crusader Doug Williams is here this week to tear us a new asshole. Pardon my language, but it's going to get bluer from there, so you might as well just prepare yourself. Doug is about to let you know what he thinks of last week's guest expert, a professional polygraph examiner who believes the test is 85 to 95% effective, and how he thinks we did as interviewers. If you're near whiskey, pour yourself a glass. If you're near children, for God's sake, turn this off already. Here's how I think this works, Polygraphs, Part 2.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts...
Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to features hosts who may or may not have any expertise, direct experience, or even a basic working knowledge of the topics on which they are speaking. But let's be honest, you listen to people who don't know what they're talking about all the time. From other podcasts, TV talking head shows, celebrity tweets, BuzzFeed, bloggers, street preachers, coworkers, your significant other's best friend's significant other, old people, your weird uncle, reality TV stars, politicians, and reality TV star politicians. We are constantly bombarded with information from unreliable sources. From economics to geopolitics, string theory to string cheese, we think the world would be a better place if everyone understood just how little we understand. So listen up. Here's how I think this works.
All right, we're back. We're doing a little bonus episode here. So the last week's episode was on the polygraph test, and three of us talked through, you know, how we think a polygraph works. We had a little bit of personal experience mixed in there with Ben. But then we talked to Dan Seiler, who is a polygraph examiner with 30 years of experience actually administering the tests. So Dan was obviously very much on the pro side. He's a believer in the effectiveness of the polygraph. And we wanted to get kind of the other perspective because we know not everybody feels that way. So we have a different guest here to give kind of the counterpoint side of the debate. Today we have Doug Williams. Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine ever since they let me out of the gulag.
I guess that's an improvement.
It's all good.
Maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit and kind of give our audience a little bit of background on your experience.
Yeah, I'm an ex-polygraph examiner myself as well. I was a police polygraph examiner, held the rank of detective sergeant with the Oklahoma City Police Department from 1972 to 1979, during which time I administered in excess of 5,000 polygraph examinations. And I really just got tired of the scam. I got tired of the hog killing, basically. The polygraph, I never once believed the polygraph was accurate and reliable as a lie detector, but it was a very effective psychological billy club that I could use to scare the hell out of people and get confessions. But there's not any way anyone with any degree of honesty can describe it as a lie detector. In fact, I describe myself as the only licensed polygraph examiner who has ever told the truth about the so-called lie detector. And in 1979, I quit my job with the police department and embarked on what turned out to be a almost 40-year crusade now. Yeah. To outlaw the use of the polygraph.
Well, so why don't we dig into that a little bit further, actually. So I think there's several different avenues, I guess, for critiquing the polygraph test, and maybe we just approach each of those kind of one at a time. So I think the first one that occurs to me is, setting aside any other concerns, let's just pretend, you know, we can eliminate human error and variability and all those things completely. Fundamentally, are the things that the polygraph measures, in your opinion, are they at least good indicators of whether a person is telling the truth, or are we measuring things that are just irrelevant?
It doesn't matter about my opinion, Eric. The facts are the facts. You know, I heard old Siler or Ziegler or whatever his name is, just spouting off The polygraph is about 85 to 95% accurate. Well, yeah, you guys just let that slide. Like, oh, okay. Well, oh, that sounds good. That's interesting. Oh, well, and it's bullshit. It is sheer, unadulterated bullshit.
In our defense, we were a little bit drunk at the time.
Well, okay. Well, that's fine. You know, there are certain things that can be excused by intoxication, I suppose, but stupidity isn't one of them.
So you're familiar with the premise of our show. That's good. It's
okay. Well, yeah. You know, there's a limit. After a while, you would just think that you would at least challenge someone.
You know, that's a fair point. No, I actually I was saying earlier tonight there are things I wish we'd kind of challenged on a little bit more. But that's part of why we wanted to have you on, is to, you know, give the counterpoint. So, role, to be honest, on the show is to be the village idiot to some extent. So it sounds like we succeeded fantastically.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to judge you too harshly on that. you're in good company. Everybody. The polygraph examiners are very good at promoting their myth. But let's just go back to what the most challenging thing that a person could say was, you know, how can you presume to say that you can detect deception by simply monitoring a person's respiration, blood pressure and pulse rate, and sweat activity? How can you possibly say with any degree of certainty that you can detect deception by monitoring the physiological response to stress? In other words, what they measure is something simply called the fight or flight response, where the autonomic nervous system puts forth a shot of adrenaline when the person is confronted with a stimulus.
And it could kick in because you're lying, or it could kick in because you're nervous, afraid that you're, you know, potentially about to be locked up. That's your contention, basically.
Well, yeah, any number of innocent stimuli can cause the exact same reaction that would brand you as a liar.
Okay.
Well, not only that.
So when they say, okay, well, let's just go in there. And he's saying the low side. He's saying, okay, 85% of the time. Well, that's according to the National Academy of Scientists, it's only accurate about slightly better than chance. But let's just go with his 85% statement. What you're telling me is that 85% of the time that a person's heart starts to beat fast, their breathing becomes erratic, and two fingers on their right hand start to sweat, 85% of the time, then when that happens, when they answer a relevant question, that means they've lied.
Let me ask this. I think one of the things that I've heard is that the thing that works about a polygraph is not at detecting lies, but getting people to tell the truth, because of the sheer intimidation factor of being hooked up to this machine and you know, potentially someone being able to detect a few lies.
Well, yeah, but nervousness does not equate to deception. It simply does not.
Right. So what about the administration of the test itself? So if the indicators are lousy, the administrator seems to be another potential place for error to get introduced. Do you think the examiners, are they typically well-trained, at least in your mind? I mean, you were trained to do this. Do you think the training's sufficient and the technique is consistently enough, you know, how it's applied?
Yeah, okay. So let's just stipulate that the polygraph is bullshit. That what it measures cannot be determinant of whether or not a person is lying, because all they're measuring is nervousness.
But are you adequately trained to read the bullshit?
So you want me now to say, well, yeah, the polygraph schools give adequate training in measuring a blood pressure, pulse rate, and a sweat activity on the fingers. Yeah. They can damn sure measure that with a great deal of accuracy.
Sounds like it's at least slightly cheaper than medical school, too, from what we heard. A tiny bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's an 8-week school, which is about 4 weeks shorter than it takes to get your fucking barber's license.
So this is Jeremiah. Hi, Doug. It appears to me, it seems to me that if I know how the polygraph is administered, and I know the types of questions that are going to be asked, it's really just a matter of my own skill at managing my own physiological reactions to the questions being asked in order to beat the thing. Would you say that's true?
Well, yeah, it's very simple. All you got to do is understand the difference between the relevant and the control questions. And when you hear and answer the relevant questions, just think of something nice and calming and relaxing, like having a nice cold beer on a warm summer day. And when you answer the control questions, you think of something frightening, like running your Harley into a brick wall.
Well, see, our other polygraph expert that we interviewed on the last part of this episode said that he could tell the difference between intentionally controlled breathing to try to evade the test and someone who is actually not nervous.
Well, of course, there's only one thing wrong with that, and that's bullshit. The fact of the matter is the government knows damn good and well that I can teach a person how to beat the polygraph test. It's very simple to do, and the fact that they prosecuted me for teaching the Fed how to do it is prima facie evidence that they know it, and further, that the polygraph as a lie detector is absolutely fucking worthless.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit. So your background, you were actually convicted and sentenced to prison. You served 21 months for offering training in how to beat polygraphs, essentially to some undercover agents. So in the course of your business, basically, you were targeted by a sting operation, and you offered training to two undercover agents who represented to you that they were guilty of certain felonies, and they wanted help from you, some training to help beat the polygraph. Our guest expert on the previous episode suggested that, you know, to some extent, your opposition to the polygraph is just a matter of you having an axe to grind. What do you want to respond to that? Get that out of the way.
Really, I don't really have an axe to grind. What I have said is simply the truth, and the government knows it's the truth. Well, I testified to this in 1985 in the United States Congress in support of the Employee Polygraph Protection Act, and laid out exactly, step by step, how to pass /beat a polygraph test. I did this in 1985. 30 years, almost to the day, the government prosecuted me for telling an undercover federal agent the exact same thing that I testified to in Congress 30 years prior.
Well, I mean, let's get into the specifics a little bit. So, I mean, you know, you were sentenced to time. Was it obstruction of justice, basically, that was the charge? Or what,
no,
what specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, by the way, they weren't witnesses to anything. And there was they never told me they were going to lie, and I never told them to lie. But
yeah,
you know, that's just a.
But a person at some point.
Once the feds come after you, they've got a 98% conviction rate, so you're basically fucked.
Yeah. But so when someone approached you and essentially, you know, confessed to sexually abusing a 14-year-old girl and asked you for help in beating the polygraph.
He never did confess to that. He said he was posing as a deputy sheriff. He was applying for a job as a Customs and Border Patrol. And he told me, and it's on the tape, he told me that he did these things and that he was going to tell the polygraph examiner that he had done these things, but that he was afraid that when he did this, the polygraph examiner would tell the sheriff that he would lose his job as a deputy.
That these would be disqualifying statements, disqualifying admissions.
And I said, well, couldn't you say all that? Why even go take the damn test?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're going to tell people during the test that molested a 14-year-old, yeah, it's probably just skip it.
The lawyer didn't put up a fight, so I basically went down in flames, but that's a whole nother story. Here's another little bit of irony, if you want to call it that. They asked for permission to use my manual in the government polygraph school, which I gladly gave them permission to use it. They have used my manual training polygraph examiners on countermeasures with the United States federal government from 1985 up to this present day. They still use my manual to train polygraph examiners on these so-called countermeasures.
But so without getting into the methods in the manual, because it's not like people can go ahead and look that up. But when you're training a person to quote, you know, beat the polygraph test, what's the outcome you're looking for? Are you getting them a pass or are you getting them an inconclusive result?
No, the whole point was to sit there and to tell the government to quit using it because it's worthless.
Well, yes.
If I teach someone how to beat it, it's worthless. That was the whole point. I'm not trying to teach liars how to pass it. However, there was a lot of people, most of the people who got my training were people who had already failed a polygraph examination, and they knew they were telling the truth. And so they reasoned, very rightly so, that, well, hell, obviously it doesn't, telling the truth doesn't work that good since they called me a liar when I was telling the truth. So I'm going to have to get this job some other way, so I better figure out how to pass this test.
But so that individual,
I didn't ever set about to teach people how to lie and get away with it.
Sure.
I was basically doing it, demonstrating to the government how easy it was to beat it in hopes that they'd quit using it. Hell, it wasn't like it was some big, deep, dark secret, Eric.
Yeah.
I testified in Congress and gave them step-by-step instruction in Congress and put my book, my manual, How to Stand the Polygraph, in the congressional record.
So for you, it was a form of protest. For them, they're looking to achieve a certain result. Do you think it's...
One of the things they tell everybody that's going in for a job with the government, the first thing they tell them, do not do any studying on how to pass the polygraph test. In fact, they even ask them that on the on the test itself. In fact, they even call me by name a lot of times on the polygraph test itself. What other test? What other test it can be totally invalidated by a person learning how it works? A DNA test? Can you invalidate a DNA test by knowing how it works? How about fingerprints?
I'd like to know that, actually. I got some paternity things outstanding.
By knowing how they work? No, but you can a polygraph because a polygraph is a fraud.
Well, I think any psychological test, to your point, is going to suffer from that same thing. If you're trying to, you know, if you know you're being tested for whether you have a certain psychological condition, you know how the test works, you probably know how to answer the questions and dodge it. But so psychological tests, yeah, definitely have this kind of vulnerability. But
yeah, just I want to make one other point that doesn't really speak to the science of a polygraph, but the purpose and the effectiveness of it, and get your opinion on it. I mean, people put their hand on a Bible in court, and we take that as an effective way to get people to tell the truth. In the same way, isn't a polygraph, just because of the intimidation factor and saying, we're going to give you one chance to tell the truth, your job's riding on it, or a conviction's riding on it, tell the truth now. Just based on the intimidation factor alone and the stuff that it elicits, because of that, isn't it a de facto valuable test regardless of the science?
Yeah, you've described it as
valuable
as a billy
club. Are you trying to
get it intimidating people into telling the truth, just like swearing on a Bible does, swearing under oath?
Does the fear of the consequences get the result that we're looking for, essentially?
I mean, I think the result we're looking for is to get people to tell the truth, not to detect them lying.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. I've always maintained that the polygraph is a really good psychological billy club, and it will scare the hell out of people. And you're right. Sometimes it will get people to make admissions that they wouldn't otherwise make. But it is not a lie detector. And when you sit there and disqualify 70% of the applicants by some charlatan saying that they had a reaction on a polygraph test that indicates deception, when they and anyone who has studied it, even given a cursory examination of the polygraph procedure, knows that is bullshit. That's wrong. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, yeah, I suppose that's true. I suppose we have to frighten people into telling the truth. No, we don't. What we have to do is to spend that $4 billion with a B, $4 billion a year that we spend on this nonsense, and start doing background investigations on people and finding out whether or not they are qualified for the position and whether they are trustworthy. That's what beats the hell out of this polygraph.
Doug, this is Jeremiah, and I've got a question. I'm going to play the village idiot tonight, which is what I do every night. So I saw a TV show years ago, and it was about Delta Force operators. And one guy gives the other dry Rice Krispies, says, "Hey, put this in your mouth, chew it up, spit it out, tell me the truth." And if the guy can spit it out without it getting all stuck in his mouth, then he's telling the truth. Can we replace the polygraph with that? Or is that as...
What was the scientific basis for the dry Rice Krispies test?
I'll have to ask Donald Belisario. I'm not sure. I think if you're lying, you're going to have dry mouth or dry enough that the Rice Krispies stick, so you can't spit them out. And if you can't spit them out, then you're lying.
If she floats, then she's made of wood. That's basically
That's it. And do the goat entrails tell the truth? Do the dry bones thrown on the ground? Do the dice? Does the Ouija board? Does the
Ouija board's legit.
Magic eight ball? It's all the same thing. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Do you understand that the polygraph was invented in 1921 by a man named Dr. Larson? He invented it in 1921, and he described it. He was a scientist, and he tried to prove that it was accurate and reliable as a lie detector, and determined that it was not. He described his invention as Frankenstein's monster. He described his invention as Frankenstein's monster, and wished he had never had anything to do with inventing it. That's the guy who invented it 100 years ago. Hadn't changed a lick since then.
Yeah, Oppenheimer had mixed feelings too, but that was pretty sweet.
That tells you how the polygraph, how much we should rely on that.
So, do you think at the fundamental level that lie detection through measuring physical indicators, do you think that's theoretically possible? Like if we monitored not only these things that we've already discussed, the blood pressure, the pulse, the, you know, sweat on the fingertips, you know, if we can work in brain waves, pupil dilation, maybe we use machine learning and it'll tell us, you know, we've analyzed hundreds of thousands of exams and found that, you know, these are the most reliable indicators. Do you think there's at least a theoretical basis for lie detection through measuring physiological responses?
Not really, because in order for any of that technology to be accurate as a lie detector, you must first prove that whatever percentage you're using, whatever percentage you want to say, if it's 85, 95, some even claim the polygraph or some of those other things there are 95 to 100% accurate. What that means is that you have to be able to prove that there is a physiological reaction that always, or 85% of the time, yep, or 95% of the time, indicates deception. And the human psyche is so complicated that there is no such thing as a Pinocchio response. Your nose does not grow every time you lie. There is, and every time your heart starts to beat faster, your pupils dilate, or the frontal lobe of your brain becomes more active, none of those things indicate deception with any degree of certainty.
So what about sociopaths? I mean, they've already, you know, we've... Over the years, we've clinically proven that they do not present the same physiological indicators of emotion or social constructs or whatever. What can we do with them?
And are they better suited to pass a polygraph?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's one of those unintended consequences of relying on the polygraph for the selection of your personnel to protect national security and prevent spies and all that, is that you're quite correct. The psychopaths and sociopaths can easily pass it because they don't let their emotions betray them in any way, and they're very capable of presenting a calm facade regardless of what's going on inside their brain. So the unintended consequence of relying on on the polygraph to as a screening mechanism to protect our national security is that the polygraph really has a built-in bias against a truthful person. In other words, the more honest you are and the more well-developed your sense of conscience, the more likely you are to fail a polygraph examination, and the more of an old psychopath or sociopath or just an outright crook and turd you are, the better your chances of passing it. So the unintended consequence of relying on the polygraph is that you're loading yourself down with a bunch of thugs and letting some honest people with a well-developed sense of conscience go by the wayside.
That makes me feel a little less confident in our law enforcement, if such a statement is 100% true.
Well, Doug, another question I want to ask on the opposite end of Jeremiah's is whether some people are either psychologically or physically incapable of giving a reliable polygraph, whether they have anxiety or high blood pressure.
Whether they're telling the truth or not.
Breathing problems or high resting heart rate, what have you. You're just unable to get a baseline that would give you an effective read on whether or not they're lying.
Yeah, there's some people that are just too tender for this world in a lot of ways. I mean, there are just some people that are just a nervous wreck. They feel guilty about everything. Of course, I don't know. Well, I don't know if I'll ever be successful in getting rid of the polygraph. But I do know this: the polygraph is not accurate and reliable as a lie detector. You know, it's a good psychological billy club. It scares people into, and that's just what people have always said. You know, if the polygraph doesn't work, why does the government use it? And the best answer I ever heard to that was from President Nixon. He said, I don't know how the polygraph works. I don't even know if it works. But I do know it scares the hell out of people, and that's why I like to use it.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to close on. I think this has been I'm really glad we got the other side of the discussion here. And your book is available generally in the public domain. You've written on this subject extensively, and people can
They can go on the website, and there's a polygraph.com. That's a very educational website. Yeah, I've got everything. I've been on 60 Minutes, Night Watch, Dateline, NBC Nightly News, Discovery Channel, The Learning Channel, Arts and Entertainment. You name it, I've been on it. Hell, I was just on Penn and Teller Bullshit on Showtime not too long ago. So get over there and start educating yourself. The polygraph is bullshit.
All right. This has been Doug Williams. He's also on Twitter. You can find him at @DougWilliams_PG. Doug, it was great talking to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Doug.
You bet, Eric.
Thank you, Doug.
Ryan, Jeremiah, y'all take care.
Hey, cheers.
You too, sir.
Thanks, man.
Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy
Watson.